friends, and welcome to Face the Culture. It's Friday, and you know what that means. We've been off for a couple of weeks due to personal traveling, but we are back with Pastor David Whitney, and we have yet another interesting topic we're going to address in our pursuit of truth. As Pastor Whitney was praying for the program, that thought dropped into my mind. And what truth are we presenting today? Well, before I jump into that, I should not be rude. I should say good morning to Pastor Whitney. Pastor Whitney, good day.
Good morning, Kim. Great to be with you on this Friday that the Lord has made.
Amen to that. And I'm waking up here, folks, getting it together. And at the end of the program, Pastor Whitney will share a little bit more about himself, how you can contact him, and find out more about Institute on the Constitution. But folks, I came across, I don't live far from the Valley Forge Park, which is a great park. It's a really great place. So many interesting things to do. If you're ever in Southeast PA, I suggest you visit it. But I came across this article when I was doing a little bit of research myself. And it's on nps.gov, and it's called the General Von Steuben Statue, Interpreting LGBTQ Plus Histories of the Revolution. So I'll read just a little bit here. In 1915, the National German-American Alliance built a statue of General von Steuben, and Pastor Whitney will share with you the very important role he played at Valley Forge. It's in King of Prussia, and it was to honor the general amid rampant anti-German sentiment in the U.S. at the time. However, in recent years, folks, Steuben has been embraced in popular culture for a different aspect of his identity as, quote, the gay man who saved the American Revolution. As park visitors increasingly inquire about Steuben's sexuality, it raises the question, how should the National Park Service incorporate LGBTQ plus history into the stories it tells about the founding of our nation? Where do you want to start with this one, Pastor Whitney?
Well, Kim, we need to understand that history is often written by people with an agenda. That is, they've got a purpose, they've got a propaganda aim, they want to accomplish something in the mind of the thinkers. And what we have seen since the LGBT, whatever you want to call it, the onslaught against our culture, one of those onslaughts has been in the realm of history. That is, rewrite history, and instead of giving the truth of what actually happened in time, promote the LGBT agenda and say, well, there was these people everywhere. They were everywhere, and they were very influential in spite of the fact that you go back and look at the times where these things actually happened, not what the revisionist historians say happened, and you find that it's the opposite of what they claim. Now, the claim is that von Steuben was accused in Germany of having immoral relationships with young men. Now, this was not proven. He was never put on trial for this. And so some accusations made about you that are never tested in court, how do we know that they're true or they're false? So the claim would be that the Park Service is promoting here, and it's tragic that the Park Service is part of this revisionist history. We would think they would be a neutral, a neutral purveyor of truth. Instead, they become a propaganda arm of the LGBT onslaught. But what the truth of the matter is we know how General Washington responded to the evil of sodomy. We have facts. We have the records from Saturday, March 14th, 1778. And these were the general orders that were published by General Washington to his troops at Valley Forge, of all places. Okay, so Valley Forge, where supposedly von Steuben was practicing his evil. No, that is not the case at all. Because at General Court Martial, whereof Colonel Tupper was president, that court martial took place the 10th of March, 1778. Lieutenant Ensslin of Colonel Malcolm's regiment was tried for attempting to commit sodomy with John Monhort, a soldier. Secondly, for perjury in swearing to false accounts. He was found guilty of the charges exhibited. That is, he attempted sodomy. He was found guilty of the charges exhibited against him, being breaches of the 5th article, 18th section of the Articles of War. And this is what the court did, and do sentence him to be dismissed the service with infamy. That is, you could be dismissed from the military as, you know, a good, honorable discharge, or you could have a kind of neutral discharge, or you could have a dishonorable discharge. This is even worse than a dishonorable discharge. This is a discharge with infamy. And here's what George Washington said specifically about how that person who attempted to commit sodomy was to be treated. His Excellency, the Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, approves the sentence. That the court gave the sentence, he completely approves the sentence, and with abhorrence and detestation of such infamous crimes, orders Lieutenant Insulin to be drummed out of the camp tomorrow morning by all the drummers and fifers in the army, never to return. The drummers and fifers to attend on the grand parade at guard mounting for that purpose. And so what we have, the detailed history here, is that John Manhort, New York enlisted as a private in Captain John Stanford's company of Colonel Malcolm's additional Continental Regiment in the spring of 1777. He remained with that company and was part of Colonel Oliver Spencer's additional Continental Regiment until 1780, rising to the level of corporal May 1779. And cited article authorized the punishment, disorders, and neglects to the prejudice of good order and military discipline. That's the military code of justice there. So Lieutenant James Michael wrote this in his diary on that day when this sodomite was drummed out of camp, never to return. In other words, the implication is, if you return, you will be executed. That's right. That's the implication of this order. Be drummed out, never to return. If he returned, he would be executed. And Lieutenant James McMichael wrote in his diary, March 15th, I this morning proceeded to the grand parade, where I was a spectator to the drumming out of Lieutenant Insulin of Colonel Malcolm's regiment. He was first drummed from right to left of the parade, thence from the left wing of the army, from that to the center, and lastly transported over the Schuylkill with orders never to be seen in the camp in the future. This shocking scene was performed by all the drums and fifes in the army. The coat of the delinquent was turned wrong side out. That is, they turned his coat inside out, as an indication that this was not a man worthy of any respect whatsoever. So here's a man that attempted, he didn't accomplish, but attempted sodomy upon John Monhart, and Monhart reported it, and George Washington saw to it that there was a court-martial, and the court determined this man was guilty of having attempted sodomy. This man was to be detested with abhorrence, detestation for the infamous crimes. And why was it an infamous crime? Because the word of God, which is the law all of our founders look to as what they call the laws of nature and nature's God, in other words, the laws of the universe, is Leviticus 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Sodomy is abomination. Leviticus 20:13 repeats that same command. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, this evil man, Insulin, was not executed because he did not accomplish the evil attempt at sodomy. And so the claim that General von Steuben, in some way, shape, or form, was a practicing sodomite, which is the attempt here to in the Park Service to communicate this false idea, is absolutely against the historic facts. If he had even attempted sodomy with another soldier in the army, he would have been treated in the exact same way as this, and perhaps even more severe because he was a high-ranking officer in the military. And so this is a terrible lie that's being put upon the people who attend to Valley Forge. And, you know, this lie has no historic fact. All there was accusations that were never proven. And if this man, von Steuben, had any indication in that evidence, in that direction, I don't believe he did, but if he did, he would never have survived in George Washington's military had he ever done anything with that. Now, see, the lie that they're trying to propose to put over on people is that there's more than two categories of human beings. The scripture says very clearly, God created them male and female. They want to say, oh, no, no, no. There's male, there's female, there's male sodomites, there's female sodomites, and then now they got 57 varieties of these unbiblical, godless, wicked ideas. No, there is no such thing. There are males who are sinners, and they may be sexually sinning with other males committing sodomy. There are females who are sinning, and so on. It's not that there's separate categories of people, but they've created this separate categories because it's part of Satan's lie to try to persuade people that you were born that way, and therefore you should be able to have the freedom to commit your sin. So let's think of that in a different category, because in the area of sex, people have been totally perverted by Satan's work in our culture since the 1960s with the so-called sexual revolution. Let's take it and let's talk about somebody who likes to murder other people with an axe. So an axe murderer. Well, wait a minute. Were they born with that propensity to be an axe murderer? Oh, we don't know. Maybe that's their sin nature has turned in that evil direction from childhood. We don't know. But let's say they had this propensity to be an axe murderer. What they're telling us is, well, I was born that way as an axe murderer, and therefore you must let me practice my action of axe murdering. In fact, you must approve of my axe murdering. You must say it's a special category of human beings that deserve special protection. Let me go ahead and murder people with my axe because that's what I am. That is a lie. The truth of God's word is very clear. We're all born as sinners. We have no right to sin because our rights come from God, and only what God defines as rights are actual rights. What God defines as wrongs are wrongs. So God says axe murdering is wrong. You don't have a right to axe murdering. Sodomy is wrong. It's an abomination. Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. Therefore, you do not have the right to commit sodomy. That's not a right. That is a wrong. So the entire structure that they're trying to sell to the American people, including, sadly, here, the National Park Service, is a lie that rejects the essential truths of Scripture about human beings. Human beings are made in the image of God. They're male and female. All men have sinned. All men have fallen short of what God created us to be, his glory and his honor. And we should never, never encourage anyone in whatever sin they happen to be trapped into. We want to encourage them to repent of their sins, to escape from the bondage of the devil who has taken them captive in order to do his wicked will in their life. These people are enslaved to their sin. We want to liberate them from their enslavement to sin. We don't want to encourage them to continue in their sin or to participate in the evil mindset that has given rise to that sin. And this is what George Washington clearly believed. And von Steuben was a very effective general. He helped drill the troops and bring order and discipline there in Valley Forge. He was very able to adequately help the military be effective in preparation for battle. And of course, they want to go on to say, look, this sodomite contributed greatly. No. There's no evidence whatsoever. It is a slander. It is a smear against von Steuben. And they want to claim because he never got married, he's a sodomite. That is a lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 clearly states that God has given some people, men and women, some people he's given them the gift of singleness, just as he has given others the gift of marriage. It is a gift to be used to the glory and honor of God. And if somebody doesn't marry, it doesn't mean they're a sodomite. That is a wicked slander against the poor General von Steuben, who's not alive in this world today, to go up and challenge those evildoers who are challenging him to a duel. Say, okay, you want to fight it out? Let's draw swords and see who wins this battle because you are damaging my reputation. And I would dare say that the descendants of von Steuben ought to go and sue the Park Service. Sue them for slander and degradation of the character reputation of their honorable relative, General von Steuben. So we live in this revisionist history that we need to reject, and we need to tell the Park Service, stop it. Get out of the culture wars. That's not your job. Stop promoting evil agendas and instead promote what we know historically. And we don't know anything about any of the sexual practices that von Steuben may or may not have engaged in. And therefore, it's a lie to promote that he was somehow a sodomite, as the Park Service clearly is doing.
Oh, Pastor Whitney, this is very, you lay your case out. You've done your research. Folks, this isn't Pastor Whitney talking off the top of his head. He doesn't do that. He's done his research. gave him plenty of time to do that because we didn't want to just come on here and wag our fingers and to say how wrong this is and we disagree. We wanted to find out, is this true or is it not true? And it's not. And I agree with Pastor Whitney, these people should be held accountable. Some might be thinking, Pastor Whitney, well, you know, he wasn't an enlisted man, he was an officer, good friends with Washington and others. They might have covered for him. But once again, do you see any evidence of that? And what can you tell us about the faith of those in positions of authority at Valley Forge who would not support the idea of being okay with homosexual practices?
Oh, George Washington clearly would never, ever have. He was a man who believed God's word was the supreme law of the land. In fact, he swore an oath. Many people don't know this. They say, oh, George Washington was a deist or some stupid thing like that. No, we know, we have the record of the oath that George Washington swore to become a vestryman in the Episcopal Church. Vestryman is kind of equivalent to, a deacon in the Baptist Church, or somebody who in the church is taking care of the trustee aspects of the caring for the facilities, handling the finances, hiring the pastor, and all those sort of functions is what a vestryman. But in order to become a vestryman in the Episcopal Church, George Washington swore an oath which he signed, and this oath said he believed all 39 articles of the Episcopal Church. And by the way, back in that day, the Episcopal Church was very sound. It was very biblical. And those 39 articles proclaim that the Word of God is the truth. It is the absolute truth. It is the law. And we know that George Washington spent a great deal of time in the Word of God on a daily basis. His daily pattern was to begin the day reading the Word of God, praying, and his day would end also with reading the Word of God and prayer. This was a man who, although was not very public about his personal relationship with God, was very clear in his writings, very clear in his behavior, that he was a sincere Christian who believed everything the Word of God said, including what it said about sexual morality. The laws regarding sexual behavior for all of the soldiers were clear. Adultery was forbidden, fornication was forbidden. And when this broke out, when there were times when soldiers went off to the brothel and things like that, they were disciplined. This was not something that Washington did not tolerate, sexual immorality in his camp, in his ranks. He sought to encourage all men to be at worship on each Sunday, that they would attend what the ministry that the chaplains were bringing to them. So there's no way in shape or form that you could claim that George Washington would tolerate a high-ranking officer in his midst that he knew was sexually immoral. He would not. And so to even think that he would tolerate somebody who was practicing sodomy as a high-ranking, that is just beyond the pale. That's a slander against George Washington. And sadly, we've got the Park Service that is kind of supporting that idea. It's slanderous.
I agree, but you know, listeners, Pastor Whitney, as always, has laid out a clear case. He's gone to scripture, not to his church's doctrine and creed, sound as it is, but he's gone to the source, God's word. Unfortunately, in our culture, we are finding more and more Christian, I use that term loosely, organizations, churches, individuals who are contradicting scripture. They're inserting cultural norms and they're bowing to that. And we believe we have an obligation to point that out to you so that you won't be confused. Let's take, for instance, an article, and Todd Starnes writes about this, but he's calling out a 200-year-old hymn as being sexist. He's definitely gone over to the side of trying to be politically correct because he is described, this is his self-description, folks, as being pro-choice, gay-affirming, and trans-affirming English professor.
Oh, this is not Todd Starnes that's saying this. This
No,
is
no, no.
Todd
This
Starnes
is
reporting about this English professor.
exactly, this is what Greg Garrett says about himself. But folks, he's a teacher, a professor at Baylor University. Let me just read a little description about Baylor. Baylor University is a private Christian university, a nationally ranked Research One Institute. It provides a vibrant campus community for more than 20,000 students by blending interdisciplinary research with an international reputation for educational excellence and a faculty commitment to teaching and scholarship. Chartered in 1845 by the Republic of Texas through the efforts of Baptist pioneers, Baylor is the oldest continually operating university in Texas. So it's a little confusing to me, and I'm guessing to you, Pastor Whitney, why a school who writes this about itself, describes itself as Christian, shows its roots as being Christian founded, and worldview is biblical. They hire a self-described pro-choice, gay-affirming, and trans-affirming English professor because all of what we just said is not biblical. That's not characteristics that you would want if you had a Christian school of a teacher to impart those kind of ideas to young minds. But he's calling the song, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship," sexist. And
because he uses the word brethren?
Yeah, folks. Let Pastor Whitney, let's just share a few of the verses, and we're going to ask you to weigh in. And because the inference, of course, is that God is sexist and views some people as inferior to others. We're going to tackle that. It starts with, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners around you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. That'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around." Pastor Whitney, when you...
Good hymn. Very
yeah,
good hymn.
Great, great lyrics. What do you think this man is thinking, and why he arrived at that conclusion?
His self-description is pro-choice, means he's pro-murder, okay? He does not believe the law of God says, thou shalt not murder, okay? Rejecting the sixth commandment. Then he goes on to reject the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, which, by the way, would encompass in that commandment all of the laws regarding sexual immorality, such as sodomy, such as bestiality and fornication, all of those that God's law says are a crime. They're a violation of God's law. This man says, oh, no, 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 these things are good. He affirms murdering babies. He affirms committing sins that God calls an abomination, the exact opposite of what we were just talking about before with George Washington punishing a man who attempted to commit sodomy. This man would applaud the soldier who attempted to commit sodomy and applaud those who continue to commit sodomy. So he's pro-murder. He's pro-abomination, that is, violating God's laws of sexual immorality. And then he's also pro-destruction of what God made human beings to be, because that's what the transgender agenda is really all about. When you say that a man, biologically born a man, and by the way, that's identifiable by every single cell of the male body, XY chromosomes, and every cell of the female body, XX. So there's no way that no amount of chemicals, no amount of drugs, no amount of hormones taken, nor no amount of mutilation of the human body, because they're cutting off perfect body parts and then creating fake body parts that are not, no amount of that will change the fact that this person is biologically male and the other is biologically female. Because at the beginning in Genesis 1, it said God created them male and female. That is determined not at birth by somebody writing on a birth certificate, the gender. No, no, no. It's determined by the creator at the very conception of that child. The very point or the egg and the sperm meet that moment in time. God is the one who creates that individual being conceived as male or female, and nothing that person can do can change it. And so the transgender agenda really is to spit in the face of God and reject God's creation and say that the human being becomes God and determines whether they're male or female. The human being determines their reality. It is a new form of idolatry and a new form of rejection of the one true God. And this man's full on with that rejection, which is just amazing to me that he would be continued as a professor at Baylor. But I guess it just shows how low Baylor, as well as many other Christian colleges that claim to be Christian, we need to not assume they have Christian in their label, name, or history, that they actually are Christian. A Christian college would not tolerate a pro-sodomite, pro-murder, spitting in the face of God professor one day more. This guy would be fired from that university as the English professor. And by the way, his whole claim here, his whole agenda is to say, well, God is not really fair. You know, he's not treating people equally because male and female have different roles. And this hymn reflects those different roles. And the word of God reflects those different roles. In marriage, the man is the head of the wife. That doesn't denigrate the wife in any way, shape, or form. It's just that he plays a role different from the role that she plays. This is clear in scripture. If you want to look it up, you can look up the complementarian view that properly interprets scripture, that men and women are different in the roles that God has given them, but it doesn't mean they are different in value. No, not at all. They're all highly valued as precious, made in the image of God. But God has given us different roles, and to reject those roles is to reject the word of God. So that's what this man is doing. He's teaching students in his English class to reject the truth of God's word regarding the roles that God has appointed for men and women. Likewise, not only are those roles clear in scripture regarding the family government, those roles are also clear regarding church government. That men are to be elders in the church. That doesn't say that women don't have significant gifts and cannot be influential in ministry and accomplishing great things for the work of God in the kingdom. Women were the first ones at the tomb. Yes, of course. So women have roles in the church different from those of men. Men are given the role of elders. Women can function in the role as deacons. Or you might call them deaconesses. Phoebe was a deaconess in Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. So there are roles for men and women. And clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's specified that the role of women in church is not to be leading, not to be usurping authority over men, and not to be teaching men. They may be teaching children. They may be teaching fellow women. There's all of those ministry roles that are fully open to women. But the role of teaching and usurping authority over men, 1 Timothy chapter 2 is extremely clear. Paul says, I will not suffer a woman to teach or usurp authority over men. Cannot get around what that scripture says other than to simply reject it. And sadly, what this man is doing in his English classes as a professor there at Baylor is undermining the authority of God's word, perverting the minds of those poor students in his class, and he's doing damage to the body of Christ. This man should be ejected from that institution. Sadly, that Baylor continues to allow him to teach on their campus means that they're supportive of that, which means I believe no one should consider Baylor a worthwhile institution to send your children to.
I think that absolutely nailed it. And as you were speaking, Pastor Whitney, God is not the author of confusion. God does things decently in order. It grieves his heart, I believe, to see this younger generation who are being, it's kind of like the blind leading the blind, as we watch so many kids being misled. And they are truly, truly a lost generation in every sense of the word. That's not the purpose of God's creating. That's not fulfilling his will. That's not them developing their gifts and talents. That is not the will of God. All this self-destruction and this craziness and so when we talked about Pastor Whitney, how in the Godhead, you know, they're equal, but yet Christ said he submitted to the will of the Father. Does that make him inferior to God the Father?
No way.
there was a purpose, right? I always think God is a God of purpose. God just doesn't randomly do things. God, he thinks, and there's reasons. And so we need to affirm young people struggling with their identity that God makes no mistake. Encourage them. Hey, he made you a guy. He has a reason for you being male. He God made you a girl. There's a reason why you were chosen to be that sex. So rejoice in that and ask him, what are my purposes? What am I to do? And we adults should be affirming that truth. Pastor Whitney, final word, and if you would share with people how they can reach you and the course, the cure for all this is the hope of Christ. I know you believe that.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. Yes, the Word of God is the answer. We need to go back to what the Word of God says about every subject matter. And this is part of the failing, I believe, of the pulpits in America today. There's a kind of an exclusive idea that, well, let's just preach the gospel, which then gets reduced to a very small thing that, by the way, in most pulpits ignores the statement where Jesus began the gospel in the Gospel of John, Gospel of John, Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Matthew. Repent is the first command of the gospel. Repent and believe. Repent, believe, and receive is how I would summarize it. But repent has been left off in many pulpits, but the pulpits often do not talk about all the things that the Word of God says about every subject matter, including, men and women and the roles of male and female. And why do many pulpits avoid that? They don't want to be controversial. It's going to affect the three B's that by which they measure their ministry: bricks, bodies, and bucks. And they don't want to see any of those decrease. So they're going to preach a message that's so bland and so non-controversial, but does not proclaim the whole counsel of God. And that's what Paul said when he spoke to the Ephesian elders. He said, "I have not failed to preach to you the whole counsel of God." That should be the goal of every pastor in every pulpit. Preach everything God's word says about every matter, because when you do, you're going to confront all the issues of the day: the transgender issue, the sodomite issue, the abortion issue, whether men and women have different roles assigned to them. But all of that is needed to be proclaimed. And I would encourage people to find a church that does proclaim that. My ministry, in addition to pastoring, is at Institute on the Constitution, where we proclaim the biblical view of law and government, what the Bible says about these subject matters. And you can find us at theamericanview.com, all one word, theamericanview.com. We have courses that study the U.S. Constitution, courses that study the role of and power of the juror, the sheriff, and citizen, many, many courses that are available to you. Our website is theamericanview.com, and we encourage you to study these things. Sadly, telling you that most often you're not going to hear from the pulpits in our land that want to be inoffensive. You're not going to hear the truth about what the Bible says about law and government. You're not going to hear the truth about these matters that need to be spoken in our day and are desperately needed for Christians to have a biblical worldview about each and every one of these areas of life. And for those who would like to sample some of the sermons that I preach on all of these subjects, you could go to our church website, CEFCMD, stands for Cornerstone Evangelical Free Church, MD for Maryland, CEFCMD.org, and encourage you to learn what the Bible says about every part of life, because the Bible speaks to the most important issues of life, and we need to have that biblical worldview inculcated so that we can think biblically about every area of life, and that we can recover what was a Christian culture. What was what George Washington, of course, he didn't need to say that this is an abomination. Everybody knew that sodomy was an abomination. The court that held the trial, they concluded very clearly, this man attempted something that's against God's law. Today, people would say, oh, we need to celebrate that guy for attempting that which is an abomination. Washington said, no. This is abhorrence. This is detestation. This is an infamous crime. This is an abomination. That's what George Washington had to say about the subject of sodomy. And he rightly told this man, do not return to this camp. If you return to this camp, your life will be taken from you. We will not have sodomites in the camp of the Continental Army. And we need today Christians who are willing to stand up and speak the truth. Because if the truth is offensive, it's offensive because people have rejected what God has said. And we need to speak clearly to what God has said. So check out our website, theamericanview.com, if you're interested in sermons, cefcmd.org.
Excellent, Pastor Whitney. And I think it should be stated before we sign off that sin is sin in God's eyes. This person isn't more horrible than the other. Adam and Eve got thrown out of the garden for eating the wrong fruit. So this sin is can't be forgiven, but that one can. No, the scripture doesn't speak that. Pastor Whitney, a few comments on that?
Oh, yes. We need to regard all sin as such an evil that even just one sin committed by one person, if nobody's this way, but if they only committed one sin in their entire life, that sin is such a heinous rebellion against God, the ruler of the universe, their creator, their redeemer, that they will spend eternity in hell, eternity in eternal punishment for just one sin. That's how heinous each and every sin is. And we've lost that sense of sin that we ought to retain, because that's how God views it. And on Judgment Day, sad to say, those who are not prepared for Judgment Day are going to come to realize that's the just results, that's the just desserts they receive for each and every sin, eternity in hell.
Not the Father's purpose that any should perish, and Christ hung on the cross out of love, folks. And the Father poured all of his wrath and anger about sin, our sin, on him. Try to wrap your head around that one. I it's easily said, but to fully comprehend that type of love. So the point is that we are in the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. Amen. While we're in this age of grace, be reconciled. Contact Pastor Whitney. Have a more in-depth conversation, a private conversation with him. I encourage you to do that. We thank you for being with us today. Look forward to talking with you again real soon on Face the Culture.